The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. I got to say good morning to my producer, and was that the Tom Jones version of that song? Good stuff. No? Because if it ain't the Tom Jones version, I don't want to hear it. Tom Jones must be a Bahamian. If you know Tom Jones, then you know what I mean. Good morning. Good yawning this morning. Have we survived the storm? Have we all survived the storm? I think we are all counting ourselves lucky, thanking our source for safe passage. The vast majority of us survived, and those who have passed have not passed due to the storm. It was a little scary there for a moment, considering what a direct hit over New Providence could possibly look like. Fortunately, the storm remained, it appears, within the tropical depression, tropical storm zone for most of its passage over New Providence. Well, welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 to be on air this morning. And we've got lots of news to share. And someone who just made it into the studio. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you doing today?
I am good, thank you.
You do not look wet.
Because it stopped raining.
Okay.
Mind you, I am concerned for our drivers.
Yes.
Because many of them are driving as if the storm is still upon us. Very, very concerned. And this is something that we need to pay attention to because we are in a hurricane zone.
Yeah.
That's one thing the government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas cannot do. It cannot take the country out of the hurricane zone. Mm. It cannot remove the country, right, from this low-lying area that we're in on the planet. We have to develop strategies. We have to develop national strategies, community strategies, and personal strategies. We have to shift culture.
And this is some conversation I want us to have. And I know you have a list of things, but I give you time back. You give all that back. But all that's yours.
Yeah, man.
But I want to talk about hurricane strategy, if you give me some time. Things that the government did well, things that the government failed, things that we should be talking about. I want us to have a conversation since you already start.
Yeah.
Give me that time. And then you have all that rest of time in terms of the next side. All that's yours.
All right.
Whatever it is. But I really want to discuss this. So bear with me. Right? I've found out, and I was tickled watching the live, that Nassau Village have a hurricane center. Did you know that?
Would that be located in that community center that the MP spearheaded?
Yes. So I didn't know that. It's the term they use, we have a hurricane shelter in the Nassau village
area.
Community.
Yeah.
So, and the community center. And I said, okay, I didn't look at it as that. Right. And he gave a tour. Mm-hmm. Right. And he said anyone can come there, or people in the community can come there. And it was manned by Defense Force officers.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They had a station or community center manager.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Is this something for him to brag about? Is it something that the government to brag about? Is it really a hurricane shelter? Right.
Mm-hmm.
What are the protocols to get in, out? Can people who live on the streets,
can the indigent people
who the hurricane, all that rain, they got to go someplace.
Yeah.
They should have gone someplace. Is that access for them?
Right. Who is it for? What is it? And who is it for? Well, first of all, the government can't celebrate. Like, right? We're not celebrating the government for
mm-hmm,
that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I would say even without without all of the details, we can celebrate the MP that spearheaded the creation of this, you know, this entity, this building, in a community that we know experiences tremendous flooding and massive amounts of residents are displaced in one way or another due to flooding through storms, right? So we could say kudos to him for the initiative, but we still got to answer some questions.
Yeah.
Is it a hurricane shelter?
There's beds and changing rooms and stuff like that, washing machine, showers.
You tell me they are?
Yeah, inside the tour.
You see them inside the tour.
I saw them during the tour.
Okay, so if it is a hurricane shelter, does it have the capacity to be used as a temporary or emergency housing facility or shelter for the community needs? And is it a standalone hurricane center, or do we expect other activities to take place within the center? I think it's a great initiative, and the MP, we could celebrate the MP for getting it done, but we're not celebrating the government for something that they should in place. They don't necessarily have to do it, but they have to create an environment in which it can be done, and they have to encourage people to do the things that they ought to be doing.
Usually there's a list of hurricane shelters.
Yeah.
That was not on the list.
Their entity was not on the list. Like, I saw DRM, they have a channel on WhatsApp. And so they had regular postings as they expanded the shelter list. I think there were only two entities listed in New Providence. One was a church, maybe two were churches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So like I said, that's why I'm begging you to let's interrogate this whole
absolutely.
Thing. And I said, all that we can cover again. Who does the center belongs to? You said not to celebrate the government. We know that the MP personally spearheaded that, he got donors, whatever it is. Something that our government can't do in Abaco to get donors to help them erect the hurricane shelters there.
That's another question. Was that shelter open and available for residents last night?
Hmm.
The one in Abaco, the big one.
Yeah.
The one that was supposed to be started from
2019. And if there is a shelter manager,
mm-hmm.
who manages the space? Like, you know, the one in Fox Hill for the community center there?
Yeah.
They have a community center manager who, I'm not sure who pays these people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a 9-to-5 and then by extension.
Yeah.
Like, how did they get access to the Defense Force officers to be there? I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just interrogating what happened
so
I could understand the process.
Separate question, is there a protocol, right, for accessing or taking on Defense Force officers to manage shelters? So I have a community project, my little NGO. For some reason, we found $2 million, $3 million. We built a proper hurricane shelter in our community, right? But during the hurricane, we want to ask the Ministry of National Security, hey, is it possible to get Defense Force or Police Force officers to provide security to secure the premises, like what is required, right? Because if Defense Force officers are there, they're going to assume that they're in charge.
Yes. And then we have to understand what's the difference between security and policing.
Yeah.
Right? Security is keeping the building secure. And policing is policing people. The Defense Force police officer in that jurisdiction?
Right. Like, have they been assigned Have they been assigned to maintain peace and order at the center? Have they been assigned to do specific things, like to do security checks at the door? You have an ID. You stop at the desk before you could get in. Show the Defense Force officer your ID. The shelter manager is there or staff is there. And they document, right, who's coming in. He just says, hey, this person is a no-go. They can't come in. We've had issues with them in the community. Defense Force officers let them know, listen, I'm sorry you are unable to access this shelter, and have a list of other nearby shelters they could access. I don't know, right? But what are they instructed to do? Are they just there to act if a fight breaks out or if disorder develops? Has a protocol been established? That's it. Because like you say, he may have created the center with private donor funds.
That's what happened.
In his mind, he owns it, right? Or it is owned by an entity, like you create a trust.
Yeah.
Or you create an organization and you put ownership into the organization,
the people,
right?
People in the community could be that.
But if Defense Force officers are assigned...
I guess I'm going to get there. I'm just getting there.
Yeah, yeah. Then
can Defense Force officers be assigned to a private building to police and defend a private
building?
That's
the Police Staff Association.
But they on their own. Because they say they're not, they're police officers, because police officers are not on duty, but they're not being paid.
Officers are always on duty.
That's what I meant. But they're not being paid by the police force when they're on the, during.
Yeah, but they're all about the police work. We don't know who they're working for.
Yeah.
When they've been assigned, what's the scope of their authority when they are on these assignments? What you know, same thing like the Cuban Medical Brigade.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we should have used that as an example. You know, at least we should have asked the most erudite intellectuals in the country if we could use that as an example. Is the way that the Police Staff Association operating the same as the Cuban Medical Brigade? Who gets the pay? Right? Does the company pay the Police Staff Association, and then they disperse a percentage
That's
of those
happens.
Funds?
That's what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even in terms of delivering, what do you call it, the warrant of arrest or whatever it is, or what the paper is they give people.
That's a tragedy. Let's not talk about that. Yeah, that's embarrassing.
But let's get back to the storm, and even because
let me just make the point.
Go ahead.
It's embarrassing that people would have to pay an officer to deliver a summons to someone who's supposed to appear to court, right? Why are individuals having to pay police officers to call? Who is, like, tell me you have a warrants and summons unit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then tell me I have to go there and pay people mm-hmm. to do their job.
Mm-hmm.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah. Something wrong in the system.
Something wrong with that.
Yeah.
And then I'm afraid, is somebody I have to use the court to manage our relationship? And then you tell me, well, if you don't want to pay the police, you have to figure out how to get them to court yourself?
Yeah, something wrong.
Yeah, sorry.
And no, there's a good point when you pivot off, but let's go back to the storm, right? And again, I'm not critiquing or trying to diminish the community center or the hurricane shelter. I'm just trying to understand what it is.
Yeah.
And put the questions. And hopefully someone come and respond and say, okay, you had these concerns. This is the explanation for these things. Because there's another community center being built. Hold on. I can come back to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are several. Oh, I get it back now. On East Street and Ross Corner. I'm not sure. Okay, picture East Street.
Mm-hmm.
And you picture Ross Corner yet?
Yeah.
And in back of the shop, there's a big four-story building being constructed. It's another community center that is being built where the member of parliament solicited them funds and is building it. See, whatever PPP they're doing. But I don't know who owns the building. Is it a government building?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because I'm sure he's going to do the same thing and have the Defense Force officers there.
You see, from you say PPP, right? That's mm-hmm. a public-private partnership. Then there is information that should be accessible by the public, available to the public.
Mm.
It's a PPP. Because one of those P's is me.
Yes.
I don't get it. If it's a MP doing it, right, then we should have an expectation of a degree of transparency and disclosure about what's happening. Even if just for continuity.
Yes.
What happens in an election if this person loses their seat?
We had that issue in Fox Hill. When Fred Mitchell lost his seat,
mm-hmm.
and then the community center there was in jeopardy. In fact, Mr. Mitchell had a lobby and said, this is, even though I'm funding it, because he privately funded that too, wherever he get the money from. It wasn't a government funding. And he had to petition the MP that you need to use this. The government need to fund the operation of this community center.
But hold on. What happened to the funding after he lost his seat? Why was that funding was still not available?
It was a private entity.
But pause. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's a private entity. So there's no stop, review, cancel involved.
No.
There's no, a new government has to come in and the program may stop. A private donor could
apparently, it wasn't financed.
Continuity.
Clearly, it wasn't financed by private entities for that continuity. It had to be financed by government. And that's why he pushed and lobbied for government.
Or what's worse is that the donor said, look, I will fund it as long as the PLP in power.
Yeah.
And when they not,
that we would
engage in relationships with people who think like that.
Yes. So the Foxer Community Center, is, to me, and my interpretation, is private. It's privately managed and operated. It's not government. And you call and correct me if you want. Like, the pool is rented out. The space is rented out. This is how the building sustains itself. Mm-hmm. And then the funds that it garners, like the police force rents out, Foxwood Police Station rents out part of the community center. And that money is then reinvested into the centers for it to manage itself and have these extra activities, so on. I'm not sure if the other community centers go through the same
stuff. Here's a question. Is it registered under the NPO Act? Like, is it registered as a non-profit organization, or is it registered as like a business entity, right? Because within the advocacy space, like the non-profit space, there is a designation called for-purpose organization, where the organization is engaged in what you call capitalist economic pursuits. They have a business, they are generating a profit, but the profit is to be reinvested into the organization. Infrastructural needs, right? Whether it's physical infrastructure, organizational infrastructure, or the projects and the programs that the organization is running, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe there'd be a little enlightenment if we knew how it's registered, right? Is it registered as a business?
Especially like how they're popping up like popcorn, right? You see their number of community centers. And again, now I'm using this word loosely.
Mm-hmm.
Now hurricane shelters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good thing that we now have official government. I'm not even sure if it's government.
Hold on, is this the next thing? Are we even sure that it's official hurricane shelter? Like it's met those standards. I'm sure there's a standard for a hurricane shelter. Maybe there's
it has to be a church.
Maybe there's a.
You see what they did there? That's a standard there.
There's a regional standard. Maybe there's a hemispheric standard, global north standard. There got to be a standard.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand why people don't feel the need to show the public that they've met the standard for the thing they're declaring themselves to be.
Yeah. So clearly there needs to be some openness in terms of defining what it is, that Nassau Village Community Center / Hurricane Center. Because like it was a big thing, and I was in transit looking at it. I said, man, this is big news, man. I didn't know that it was that. And then knowing that there are several others being built. Like, and I said, I wonder if that too is going to be the hurricane, because that's like 3-4 stories. That's huge for that small space. They capitalized on all the space there. But it's movement. But I there needs to be some clarity moving forward on what it is.
Here's another concerning thing, just as sort of an aside, an intersection. Did you see the article last week indicating or stating that it appears as if the local Surveyors Association has fallen out of good standing with the...
Yes, I glimpsed that.
Yeah, you notice that?
So
they hadn't paid the dues in 3 years?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How does that impact the rating of construction? Like, how does that impact construction in the country? And if the BIDEM have not paid the thing for 3 years, how does that impact standards?
It's a wink, wink, nod, nod content.
I don't know. I just say, because here we are talking about, are certain buildings certified for what we're told, that, you know, the purpose is. And I just saw it flew past me, you know, the story, because I had guests on Thursday and Friday. It kind of flew past me.
So No. I think it's a hollow thing, is it?
Yeah, but they're good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nature's amazing.
And all things, and all of the constructions are the same.
Yeah. Like basically, it's like they got a model, they got a pattern.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You come and say, that's a hummingbird place right there. Traversing here mm-hmm. for the show, you see there's flooding,
mm-hmm.
right? And I want to know, like, what did we learn from the microburst, one, and from this tropical storm, right? Things sort of change. First, there's a proclamation of some sort from the DM.
Okay, so we had one of the things of note, there was the declaration, right? The declaration, emergency declaration. I'm looking for the exact term here, Mr. Newry, article, evacuation orders issued for Grand Bahama and Abaco, that's the Nassau Tribune. That was the 27th, Saturday, mandatory evacuation order issued for vulnerable communities in northern Bahamas. That's also Saturday. The government has issued a declaration of disaster alert and a mandatory evacuation order. So there are two situations. One is a declaration of disaster alert and a mandatory evacuation order for vulnerable communities in the northern Bahamas.
Because I have something you could read.
Sure, I can read. I was just going to say, I can reach out to DRM, but I figure they're still busy. So I didn't want to bother. You know, they're busy. Here we go. So here is the Disaster Risk Management Act 2022, number 39 of 2022. Disaster Risk Management Declaration of Disaster Alert, Northern Bahamas Order 2025. In exercise of the powers conferred by Section 50 of the Disaster Risk Management Act 2022, the Prime Minister makes the following order. One, this Article 1, citation. This order may be cited as the Disaster Risk Management Declaration of Disaster Alert, Northern Bahamas Order 2025.
What does that mean, by the way?
So it means you could call this bill, like this thing, you could call it that.
Okay.
You could call it, it may be cited as, so if you reference it, you can reference it as the Disaster Risk Management Declaration of Disaster Alert, Northern Bahamas, so I think it's for the Northern Bahamas 2025. Article 2, Declaration of Disaster Alert. Upon the advice of the Disaster Risk Management Authority, I hereby declare a disaster alert in the following areas. A, East Grand Bahama, including the settlements of Freetown, High Rock, Pelican Point, and McLeanstown, and the associated keys such as August Key, McLeanstown Key, Big Harbor Key, Little Harbor Key, Bonefish Key, Sweetings Key, Water Key, Deep Water Key, Lightburn Key, Big Cross Key, Michael's Key, and Long Key. The Abaco Keys of Grand Key and Walker's Key. B, RV Trailer Park Site, adjacent to the government complex, Marsh Harbor, Abaco. So the declaration of disaster alert, they declared a disaster in those areas. And I think they have to do
it. Pre-disaster or disaster beforehand?
A disaster alert.
Okay.
And I think they need to do this so that they can then issue the evacuation order.
Okay.
So it's a declaration of a disaster alert. So we expect potentially there could be disaster in these areas. Mm-hmm. And I think that mechanism is necessary to kick in the next mechanism.
And the Prime Minister have to make this pronouncement.
We imagine, that part I have to research, but it appears as if the Prime Minister, and then we assume whoever he designates in his stead.
And following a recommendation from the DRM. And then the Prime Minister makes the announcement. And then there's a mandatory evacuation, which I support, by the way, because some of those far-flung areas, if when they get cut off, they get cut off. Mm-hmm. You can't expect us to come and rescue. You had a declaration. And this is the first time I think we used this mandatory evacuation procedure. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting to see it. And I'm not sure if Behemoth was appreciating what was happening at this time. Did you get one of those alarms?
I got about 12.
I get about 20 of them.
It's like, good. No, it's good.
Yeah, we'll get about 20 of them. It's going off nonstop, you know, nonstop.
No. That was a good thing.
Mm-hmm. And see, and I wanted to hash out all the things that happened, what has changed, because this is the first time anything like this has happened before, mm-hmm. right? And moving forward, do we expect it to work like this? Will it be tweaked to see what is working, what's not working, what is improving, mm-hmm. What we have settled on to, this is our procedure.
Here's what's interesting as well, right, with the Declaration of Disaster Evacuation Order, right, post-storm. I think it's the first time we're using it. Mm-hmm. We now need to see the consequence of it. I want to know, are we going to see any individuals who were evacuated and then they turn around and say, hey, because you evacuated me unnecessarily, I lost $100,000 in revenue, right? Because you all shut this down.
It's the law. The law shut us down.
Yeah, I want to see the law. I want to see if we have any cases that require the matter to go to court, mm-hmm. and flesh through it, right? And say, well, here's what happens if a declaration is declared, significant amounts of revenue is lost, and then it's found that maybe they jumped the gun and they should not have declared the declaration. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see it unfold, mm-hmm. and test the law. Mm-hmm. And see the scope of the law. Is it good law? Is it bad law? How is this going to play out? That's why I'm interested in seeing that as well.
Yeah. I support that. I still want to hash out. Go ahead.
I was going to say, plenty more things to talk about.
The flooding.
Yeah.
We know now. So we talk about New Providence now.
Yeah.
New Providence flood. But we knew it was going to flood beforehand because it's the saturation of the water.
Let's go there. Okay, so the government knew. Did the Ministry of Works know?
That's where I'm getting that too. In terms of the response.
I was about to say, do the constituency teams know, right? Because they have that expenditure budget. But I recently found out that some constituencies, like when the streetlights go out and you got to find a private contractor to go replace them, the constituency office could end up paying up to $1,000 per light pole just to replace a street light.
I know that most of the streetlights are erected by private entities, not BPL or anything like that. But I thought government paid that. I didn't know it was constituency.
But if imagine this, right? Like I live in an area with historically horrible wiring, and it doesn't matter how much you bring it to the state's attention, right? There's no recourse for it. They don't intend. It appears as if they don't really intend on doing anything serious about it. When there's surges in our area, the surges are nasty. They rip up your equipment, right? So what if there's a surge? I didn't cause the surge. Mm-hmm. BPL caused the surge. I mean, it's BPL electricity. Mm-hmm. I surely didn't cause the surge. Mm-hmm. Why now is my paying $1,000 to replace what is a security feature for the general public, so the roadways are lit properly, but also for community and citizen safety and security, so residents could move through their community safely at night and at dusk and at dawn. Why are constituency offices paying $1,000 per light to replace them? So I'm saying all of that to say this. You could imagine how much it can cost a constituency to take on the task of drain clearing? Like, remember, there's some problems that the individual just can't solve on their own. There are problems that the constituency office can't solve on their own. And drainage and drains is one of them.
Who is responsible for the drained and drainage and to create new drainage, especially like places you say, okay, like the highway, the East-West Highway by, where am I now, by Crossright, the old Crossright.
All right, so Ministry of Works obviously is responsible for installing drains. Mm-hmm. And I presume because of insurance matters that they're responsible for clearing drains. Like, you need to come out and clear a drain. It should cause a problem. And the government's insurance agent should come and slap me in the back of my head and say, what are you doing? Who authorized you to do this madness? Mm-hmm.
But,
right?
But there's some areas in New Providence, and again, by cost, right, the old cost, right, and the insurance company, right, on that highway there. When a surprise, it floods. And I'm not mad at that. I just know that when you go in that, when you venture in that way, you have to slow down your car.
And you have a wife, you tolerate all right? kinds of madness.
But my
God bless husbands.
My point is, 5-10 years has gone by. Surely someone should see, but right here is flood. We need to fix this.
This is what I'm saying.
That's
you,
what I'm
you seem to be so cool with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I just drive slowly, you know. I had a car stalled there once too. It was a lower car.
Because I was about to say, don't drive it any slower. We have to go in reverse. Yeah.
But who is responsible to say, this is a point we need to fix, and we can take the 3 years, the 2 years to fix it?
Okay, so government, this is one of those things. Government is responsible for it, right? And then you remember when the chair of the town hall planning said, yeah, like, and I'm paraphrasing here, I'm going to get to the quote. Yeah, you see all of these liquor stores right next to the places they're not supposed to be next to, given the existing. But it's happening, it seems as it's happening because of, quote, a lack of public awareness, close quotes. Government is responsible for the drainage.
Why didn't fix
now,
it?
Mind you,
why didn't do it?
A constituency team, a well-organized constituency team, can identify drainage and
quicker and faster
as a problem in the community. Could bring in residents, right, to form a working committee to strategize and lobby to get the government to do its job, right? So there is responsibility we have. Are we identifying the issue? Are we properly identifying the issue? Are we properly identifying the elements of the ecosystem that the issue exists in? And then are we creating effective strategies to cause our problems to be solved, right? So no, I can't fix the drainage problem. My MP alone can't fix the drainage problem, but we could identify the problems and make it impossible for the state and the Ministry of Works to ignore A, the problem, and B, our attempts to assist them in resolving it. It's both, but I can clear the drain myself.
I want to go back to the alert. The alert was coming, I think, every hour, if I'm not mistaken.
All right, so, yeah, well.
Okay, it was come a often. Bit, let's say come out often.
Yeah, it was a bit weird. I got alerts, and I was in an area where some people got alerts.
Yeah.
And then I didn't get an alert at that time. I didn't look at the phone to compare that we were getting the same alerts. But I think it's important to note that the Met Office has a schedule of publication of alerts, right? And they publish every 3 hours, and I think it's midnight, 3 a.m., 6 a.m.,
okay.
9 a.m., mm-hmm. 12 noon, then 3, 6, 9, midnight again, right? In that loop. And you can go to you could search Department of Meteorology, Bahamas, and you go to their website, and on the main cover, like underneath the big banner, the big picture, the first tag is latest alert,
yes.
latest
time,
update.
Time stamp and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to know, did it give sufficient or adequate information where you satisfied, said, this is good information and you happy for it? Can be him and say, this system here works. This is the way forward. This would be one, especially if any bigger hurricane, impending hurricane come, we say, well, at least we have this rectified.
Notice on the Marco Alert system, they send you, it's just script. There's no picture, there's no image of the child, right?
Yeah.
But it has an option to open a Facebook page,
yes,
where the story is, right? With the wanted or the missing person's flyer, the image of the young person, and more details. I think that maybe the weather alert system could include that, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, I looked at it, I assessed the information that it gave me, and then I was able to make some reasonable decisions based on what I saw on the screen. But some people may not have the wherewithal or may not be prepared in the moment, right, to sit down and parse what it is they're looking at. Why not do the same thing and include a link to either the DRM page with instructions on what to do if you live in these areas affected by whatever it is we're alerting you to in this particular alert. Create a link so people could follow it for more information and details if this is not sufficient information for them to make a reasonable decision.
Let's talk about reasonable decisions then. First, government agencies was closed. So the acting Prime Minister, Cheston Cooper, made an announcement or call. Say, hey, we're closing now all the government, non-emergency or essential government entities.
So government offices closed except for essential services and workers.
Then we had an announcement by the Minister of Education.
Right. in the affected areas, Central and Northern Territory, that schools were closed until further notice. So we got, for people who are looking, school closures announced. Mm-hmm. That was on Sunday, Nassau Guardian. And it includes in there the statement by the acting Prime Minister, Chester Cooper.
Yes. Also, there was the Anglican Board, the Catholic Board, who are separate from the Ministry of Education. Right. And they made their own announcement.
That they closed school for today?
That they closed school for today, yes.
Right, in this zone. So schools in this particular zone.
Based on the recommendation of the DRM, whatever it is. And then there were businesses who were...
So like NAD? Mm-hmm. Is it NAD? And NAL, mm-hmm. One of the pharmaceutical companies, they mm-hmm. indicated that, look, we got to be closed. There's extreme flooding in the area. There was another wholesaler agency that indicated that until further notice, they could open later today, right? Because of the nature of what they do, they are an essential service. But they indicated that we can't get out, y'all can't get in. We are closed for a period of time. The Office of the Judiciary sent out a notice I got from online. The public is hereby notified that acting on advice of Department of Met and the advice that all court operations are suspended on Monday, the 29th of September. Normal court operations in New Providence are expected to resume on Tuesday, the 30th of September, 2025. An official communication regarding the resumption of court operations for Abaco and Grand Bahama will be issued following the advice of the Met Department, and parties whose matters have been affected by the suspension are advised to communicate with the respective court administrator regarding rescheduling of the same. The public is encouraged to take all necessary precautions, and that statement was signed by Ronaldo Toot, acting registrar. Right? Then the clearing houses, the bank association, I think they indicated that banks would be closed today as well. And Mr. Newry, I'm concerned.
What do you mean you're concerned?
I'm concerned. We live in a hurricane zone. Every day we get up, we're in a hurricane zone.
Now, follow this question. Yeah. We had big companies, and I want to read something also briefly. Like, for example, the Atlantis and their other big hotels who seem to not know what was happening, or they didn't make a conclusion because they're 24-hour operation.
Yeah.
Right? Of course, the country wasn't shut down. The country still existed. But when you see various entities start shutting down or closing, it impacts their staff, mm-hmm. right? Do their staff know whether the hotel is closed, the hotel is still, because it's not a hurricane.
Right.
For this one, we talk about the tropical storm, this specific incident.
Right, like what do I do if I'm supposed to be at work at school time, mm-hmm. but my kids are not at school at school time, what am I prepared for that? Oh, I saw this, Mr. Newry. Mm-hmm. We are now looking at a schedule. So Atlantis organized a transportation system for staff who were affected by the storm.
Yes, but this is entertaining because you know that sometime earlier, the company itself discontinued the employee pickup.
Yeah.
But they get employee pickup now.
Because it's an emergency.
It's an emergency. Their staff was planning to stay home. They couldn't come to work.
You could come to work.
Now you can come to work. But if I say my corner is flooded, you give me a bus access.
Okay, listen.
Does it still
mean pause. I'm going to be serious about it, right? I'm going to be serious about it. I'm not saying you're not being serious,
No.
But I can sound like I'm joking for a second here. watch this. Labor rights mm-hmm. are human rights.
Yes.
Employees' rights
yes.
are human rights.
Yes.
We're not asking, this is no longer a plantation. We're not asking people to sacrifice their health, mm-hmm. their life, and their safety for a Yankee dollar, mm-hmm. for a tourist dollar, right? But we pass that. We have to have considerations when it comes to the lives and the livelihood of our Bahamian employees. Mm-hmm. And if tourism is our number one stunner, then we have to treat those staff like we respect them because we understand how essential they are, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Bang. Mm-hmm. Having said that, it's 2025 and we don't have no rubber boots. It's 2025 and ain't nobody selling inexpensive but sturdy rubber boots, understanding that we live in a hurricane zone and for half the year it could be wet all the time. And in 2023, it was wet for the whole year.
The one thing with hurricanes and tropical storms, you know it's coming. 2, 3, 4 days before, you know it's coming. Now, you know where I live, mm-hmm. right? to get to the main road is a 45 minutes walk, right, to main road. If I'm saying my car can't drive, right, but you want me to come to work.
You don't walk through your neighbor's yard, eh?
That might take you longer because, you know, they have dog and thing. But my point is, I appreciate the gesture with the company. But for me, for I assume for people who live on Michael Road, with the hour in, right, to get to the main road.
Walking to the main road.
To get to work.
Let's put it like this.
In the rain.
It is a culture shock for your average Bahamian, but I want to say that for your average Bahamian employee, but here's why. It's not like many people didn't have to do that to get to school.
Yes.
That's not what we're saying. We're saying is they have job now.
Yeah.
And in their mind, they have job.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do this no more.
No.
That's why I wake hard in school.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't have to walk 45 minutes just to get to the corner to wait for the bus.
And then wait in the rain for the bus.
Right. So it is a culture shock there, right?
So I'm talking
cultural
about
attitudes towards migrants,
the plan,
right?
The plan. What is the plan? The plan can't be that.
No, listen, there is, first of all, there is no plan.
There is no plan.
There is no plan. Mm-hmm. Because there are no rubber boots. Can't expect people to walk in water.
Mm-hmm.
You can't expect people to walk in an inch of water.
Mm-hmm.
You can't expect them to walk in 2 inches of water.
Mm-hmm.
You can't expect them to walk in a foot of water or 2 feet of water.
Mm-hmm.
That's against the rules. Mm-hmm. It's just, what are you doing? You being unprofessional.
Mm-hmm.
So my employer should ensure that I have rubber boots.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't necessarily mean the employer has to buy them for me.
Mm-hmm.
But my employer should be reminding me, hey, you live in a hurricane zone. And for this business, that's a 24/7 business,
mm-hmm.
to maximize its potential so that we can continue to maximize your potential and your income generation,
mm-hmm.
you don't think you should prepare yourself to come to work in almost any condition?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This
create a system that it could continuous.
Like I said, I don't expect any worker, Bahamian, Philippine, Haitian, Scandinavian, Nordic,
Scandinavian workers here,
Russian.
What kind of workers?
I don't know. I can't get it. But that's not the point. The point is, I don't expect any of them to walk in the rain to work. However, it's 2025, and I expect. If I work at a place that charges more than $4 for a soda, I expect there to be a system in place that I could plug into.
Mm-hmm.
That I could say, hey, boss, I forgot to buy my rubber boots
mm-hmm.
because that my first child going to university.
Mm-hmm.
What could we do?
Yeah.
Could I rent them? Could I lease them? Could you take the money out of my salary piece? I need the rubber boots, and I can need that poncho as well.
And if I come to work wet, there should be a system of dry cleaning. Say, well,
you
here.
You should have a locker, right? Come on, a waterproof bag. Give your staff one waterproof dress bag. Because then you could say to me, what you mean you ain't coming to work because it's raining?
Yeah.
Hey, I give you a waterproof dress bag.
Yes.
And you got a locker at work.
Yes.
And you got showers. And you got hot tea.
You get paraphernalia. Umbrellas.
Get to work and trust that
system.
Your needs will be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand why there's a lack of trust.
Mm-hmm.
We get that. But we got to advance, man. Like you say, what you mean the banks are closed?
Mm-hmm.
If Aaron Green could get to work this morning,
mm-hmm.
we should be able to get a skeleton staff to the bank. Furthermore, I can jump
high. How is it that certain staff can get to work and certain staff get to stay home? Like, what's the difference?
Well, I guess there's a couple of things happening, right? It's what are you doing in the bank, and can what you're doing in the bank be done
for the bank? Can get it closed then. The operations still exist,
right?
Maybe minimal, maybe longer lines, but it should still open.
It's a bank. A bank is an essential service. You know how I know? The way the bank has taxed me.
Hmm.
The way the bank taxes me lets me know it's an essential service because they need my money.
Hmm.
But more importantly, I need my money at any time of the day. Just like the big corporations need their money at any time of the day. Banking is an essential service. Why don't we have a protocol where if there's a storm, there's a designated hurricane shelter in specific areas where staff go because they could make it from there to the office quickly because
mm-hmm.
we're going to ensure that they could be escorted there, right? Or they stay on property.
Mm-hmm.
And we turn on the cameras.
Mm-hmm.
So we know what's happening the entire time they're on property.
Mm-hmm.
But are the banks safe? So that's the next question. I ain't putting no staff in a place that's not safe.
Yeah.
Right? Again, paramount is worker safety. But it's 2025, and we can devise contemporary modern systems to deal with these issues. Why? I still can't understand it. We give away backpack in the backpack? Mm-hmm. Anybody give away rubber boots with the backpack? Anybody give away Ziploc bags, large Ziploc bags, so kids could put their schoolwork in waterproof shielding as they go to school and back home? Y'all wouldn't even put guards on the road to ensure that the drivers don't splash the students right outside the school. Y'all wouldn't even do that.
During the hurricane, when it's a hurricane, the business entities do not dock you, saying that, or reprimand you, saying that you miss work.
Mm-hmm.
This is a tropical storm. Number of people called out. Like I said, during the hurricane, they don't say you miss work. You just say it's a national emergency. Was this a national emergency or a kind of a national emergency where if those people call out, man, they're not penalized?
Okay, so here's the thing.
I don't know if they get penalized for this one.
We need a strategy for this. Here's why. Because that tropical depression turned into a tropical storm mm-hmm. relatively quickly, mm-hmm. and there's no saying why it didn't turn into a hurricane relatively quickly. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, the NOAA and the BODEM mm-hmm. in the storm could tell you why, right? Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is there's a risk that we take with these storms. It makes it slightly different, right? Because going to turn into a hurricane while I'm on the road or while I'm at work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what happens, I'm a single mother, my kids are at home mm. with their dependent grandmother, and I'm stuck at work?
Mm.
Or God forbid, I's the man of the house.
Yes, 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 yes.
And because I's the man of the house, everybody, in my, you know, they just relax. It's not that I is the man, but it just, they relax. And here I am now, I tell you, like, going to work. Coming back. Y'all don't be scared.
Mm-hmm. I could be back in time.
Yeah, just do the things I tell you to do. And then all of a sudden, I don't make it back in time.
Mm.
You know? It's a risk, and we cannot blame, especially the primary. Mm-hmm. We cannot blame them, you know? It's one thing if the teenage son, let me say this. Thank you to all the people who was waking yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
All the parking boys, parking girls, all the staff in the food stores, all the staff at the gas stations, your convenience store, say thank you to them mm-hmm. for risking it all. They could have been risking it all mm-hmm. to be out there to ensure that you could get the things you need.
And putting themselves secondary.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
And putting yourself primary.
And prioritizing the customer over their own needs. And in many instances, they may have had to because mm-hmm. they had to work because mm-hmm. they got to pay these bills. But say thank you to them. Anyway, right? Because we say thank you because we know, although many people may be entitled to overtime, they don't necessarily get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They should be entitled to rewards for this effort. They don't necessarily get it.
And before we go, fast food, a number of fast food restaurants stayed open until 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
The bad climate weather started like an hour after that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they do that for the hurricanes too. Like, what? But man, you have 1 hour to go home before the hurricane. Sure, that's overtime money, man. You can't just be saying, okay, go home now. You spend all your day here. And yeah, you have 1 to 2 hours to get your hurricane stuff too.
Well, here's what I would argue. From the issue, disaster, declaration of disaster alert,
mm-hmm.
in any part of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that mean me too. Right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's what I argue. And the employees say, try argue it. Try say, no man, an official declaration of disaster alert was issued. And I sure that mean me, boss.
Let's see if we can squeeze. Go ahead, Carlo. On the clock.
Aaron and Mr. Nuri, good morning.
Morning.
Great. First of all, my condolence to the Juan Miller family and also Frank Carter family.
Yes, sir. We get into
I have a question for Dr. Davil, Minister of Health, and also for the PHA, Ms. Abinad Rule.
Yeah, man.
You know, the hospital now have their catering service shift now to UB campus.
Okay.
And in the event that hurricane turned into a storm and nobody could have moved, and none of the staff at work, what was their game plan for feeding the patients and also the staff at work? You know what I mean? Did they order a pallet of bread and a pallet of tuna fish so that at least they can get a tuna fish sandwich?
Mm.
You know, what is their game plan? Have they thought about that? That's a serious question. and a concern.
Hold on. So the kitchen in the hospital is no longer operational?
But they're at UB, which is for 3 miles away at UB campus.
Is the staff at UB or is the...
The hospital staff.
Are using the facilities at UB?
Yes. That's where they cook from now.
Okay, so that means that the facility at the hospital is no longer accessible or available to them?
No.
Is it because of the process of renovating the space, or have they just shut that out of their protocol? Or their
purview? I think they're supposed to be renovating. I don't know if they started yet, but, you know, it's been over a year now.
Yeah.
You know, so in time of the eve of national disaster, what are their game plan?
Yeah, without a doubt.
The patients still have to eat.
You see what I'm saying? Everybody have to eat. And see, Aaron, you know, I saw Andres on the outside. I could survive without a few meals. But
I hope they thought about that, seriously.
Yes, patients need their meals when they are prescribed.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
On time,
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Take, you know, medication also.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So we know the banks were closed, the courts were closed, the schools, many of the schools within the central Bahamas and northern Bahamas were closed. The airport was closed. I think it has been reopened. I'm not 100% sure, but I know there's an entire procedure for closing the airport and for reopening the airport. More importantly, I found that was interesting. Mr. Nuri, on the other side of the break, we are going to talk about the tragic passing of Mr. Vaughn Miller and the issues that arise thereof. Right, and what should we be prepared for? We want to say thank you to all the essential workers, all of the security staff, all of the people who worked through this tropical storm to keep us safe and to keep the country running. We say thank you with all our hearts. Producer too, because he was here when I got to work this morning. You guys stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pin from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pin.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Get ready to swing for a cause. The 4th Annual Rebuilding Villages Charity Golf Tournament, brought to you by Cleft of the Rock Foundation in proud partnership with the Bahamar Foundation, Sunday, October 5th at the world-class Royal Blue Golf Course at Bahamar in Nassau, the Bahamas, for a day of championship golf, community, and impact. This isn't just another tournament. It's a chance to change lives. Every putt, every drive, every swing supports programs like Parenting on Purpose and Disciplines for Life, empowering families across the Bahamas with education, awareness, and hope. Don't miss this unforgettable event, the 4th Annual Rebuilding Villages Charity Golf Tournament, October 5th. To register or learn more, visit cleftoftherockfoundation.org or email cleftoftherockfoundation@gmail.com.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.